The Michael K. Show.
This sounds like it's absolute desperation, when I would think the Pacers should feel like they're in a good spot. They're going back home. Two of the best players on the Knicks might be compromised. One of them might be out. The players say they need to play better. Now, I'm not saying they're happy they're down 2-0, but they could still feel like they can win this series. But when your coach is complaining about the officiating and sending things to the league and complaining about they don't want us to win, that sounds like a guy that's absolutely desperate. So maybe the Pacers don't feel that way. Their coach doesn't sound like he feels that way. Dust yourself off. Go home. Even the series. But instead, you're complaining about the games that are already over, trying to get an advantage with the officiating? Boy, it sounds to me like Carlisle's really desperate.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, when you're down 2-0 in a best of seven, you are desperate, and that's the way it manifested itself. The Pacers in their history are 0-8 in best of seven series where they lose the first two games. Now, one thing that is puzzling to me, why would fans, I don't know if the guys that called up are Knicks fans, sounds like they were, why would anybody complain about the Knicks playing their players? The biggest spit in the face to fans is load management, where you buy a ticket to a game and the big star from the team that's coming in is sitting, and you're going to complain about the guy who plays everybody all the time? That's what you're going to complain about. Every coach should do this.
Considering how much people complain about load management in the NBA, you should absolutely be in love with this Knicks team. Even if you're not a fan of the team, you should appreciate that this is the one team that doesn't play that game. They play every game like their hair is on fire. How do you not fall in love with a team like that? You can play in baseball. Oh, look, nobody plays 162 games anymore. This guy doesn't play day game after a night game. Maintenance days, we hear that. Load management. All these are 21st century phrases that get thrown out there for, hey, sometimes you're going to have to go to a game and not see your favorite player. But not with the Knicks. And the guys play hard. I just think you'd be absolutely in love with it. Unless you just love to complain, then I don't know why you wouldn't just adore the way Tibbs handles this team.
It's a great team to root for. They all play hard. They don't want to come out of the game. Josh Hart has played every minute of what, four straight games? It's startlingly brilliant. And you're complaining that he plays people too much. I mean, I don't know what makes people happy anymore. I just don't get it. I don't get it. It makes no sense. It's almost insulting. It's really almost insulting. This is what you should want every coach to do. Everyone. Instead, you get load management. Guys play 60 games a year. That means they miss 22. And one of the 22 they miss might be when that team comes to your town and you spent $500 for a ticket. But you're complaining about Tibbs. Yeah, makes sense. Now, as for the Knicks in the series, you got to hope and pray that Brunson's okay. That they didn't shoot him up and that took away the pain and then he played great in the second half. Because if that's the case, it didn't heal. Didn't heal. It was just covered up. OG Anunoby, a lot of people are reporting. Ian Begley reporting. Doesn't look good. Probably missed game three. You better hope that's all he misses. Is he going to be better by Sunday? Think about that. A hamstring injury, it takes a long time, especially in basketball, Don.
Now, if you tell me he plays compromised on Friday, but then is healthier on Sunday, all right, I can buy that. Not playing on Friday and then fine on Sunday? No, it'll probably be not playing Friday, compromised on Sunday. So you'd like to at least think one of the games he's going to be close to 100%. But if he doesn't play Friday in a playoff game, knowing how important he is, can I really believe that in 48 hours he's going to be 100%?
I think that what they have to do, and Peter brought this up earlier, and it gives them a little wiggle room because they're up 2-0. I think you almost have to play this game. Do we keep him out till he's 100%? Or do we risk it and play him at less than 100% and then he blows out the hamstring and then he's gone? So it's a tough call. Do they think they could win without OG? Because they won yesterday without OG. They won yesterday without him. The thing that they needed was Jalen Brunson. So even when they lost OG, they still persevered and they won. Without Jalen Brunson for the quarter and a half, they were getting spanked. So do they take that calculated risk and go, let's keep him out till he's 100%?
That just doesn't sound like Thibodeau, does it?
Well, I think he does listen to his medical people.
It makes sense, but I just... I think he's going to want to play. They're going to want to get him to play. If he can go, I think he's going to want to be out there, and they'll have him out there. But I hear what Peter's saying is sometimes you want to, you know, lose the battle to win the war.
You have to judge his overall effectiveness. If you're telling me you're not going to get 100% from him, and there's any concern, particularly with it being something like a hamstring, that he could have a setback, if you're telling me one day could make a difference, you take advantage of the luxury that is having home court and being up 2-0. And I think you're willing to give that up in game three to have him be better for the rest of the series.
Let's go to Steve in New Fairfield. Steve.
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you?
Good. What's up?
Mike, disagree with you, Don, you two. I mean, for two New York guys, you got to get New York. The fans are complaining because New York basketball fans actually are in the top 5% of knowledge. It's the team. They really love the team. They just don't think these minutes it's sustainable for the future. Maybe OG topped the hammy because I know his hands are tied. The bench is very limited right now. But that's the reason. Hart, you can't give him a blow for 2 minutes. These things might have wear and tear.
But Steve, if you give Hart a blow for 2 minutes, and what if the Pacers go off on a 10-0 run? I mean, that's what Thibodeau's dealing with right here.
So be it, but that's where the complaints come from.
No, Steve, it's very convenient for you to say so be it. They could end up losing the series, so be it.
I do think, though, like both could be right. At this point, forget about it. It's not even worth bringing up. They've got no bench. They're beat up. And it's worked so far, so you got to play it through. Now, could there be times during the course of the year, Michael, that you could accuse Tibbs of maybe pushing a little bit too much? Like, you're talking about losing the battle to win the war. You know, those games when you're up 20 against Memphis, you know, maybe I'll take the risk of maybe blowing the lead. I've got an opportunity here to rest some of my guys. I'm not saying load management, but do they have to all be playing north of 40 minutes every game, even the games you're blowing somebody out?
But again, we could talk to Frank about this. If you look at the numbers, his usage is right in the middle of the NBA. So, I mean, because we see it every day, we think that they're blowing them out, but it's right in the middle.
I know his usage of everybody, but there are some, like Brunson, he plays a lot. And he's so important. There could have been times, Michael, where you just said, you know what? I'll take the risk of blowing the 15-point lead. I'm going to sit Brunson to start the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but
that's all I'm saying. I fundamentally agree with you and not the caller, because I do think some of them are being, you know, nervous Nellies about it. But I do think following this team all year that you do see some times where maybe you could shave off some of the minutes.
Well, I know that people are going to say Julius got hurt in a game that they were up. But what's up? What's up enough that you can just empty the bench? He doesn't think like that. And we saw in the Philly series, you know what? A lot of points could be scored in a couple of seconds.
Oh, yeah. But in a game in November.
But you know what? If they gave that up in November, Dom, maybe they don't finish with the second seed.
Well, I get it. But you want to get to the point. See, that's what happens. Like, you have some of these teams that don't care where they finish. The Knicks do care where they finish, which I love. And everybody should love that about their team. But there are times where during the course of the season, you can't play all 82 games like it's game 7. It can catch up with you. In the playoffs, every game is important. Every second's important. You don't want to blow a lead. But if you're up 20 against Sacramento on December 13th, maybe take advantage of the fact you've got a big lead at home and rest some of your guys. And if it does get out of hand and the gap is closed, you can bring them back in. But you could be a little bit more strategic.
Let's go to Dan in Queens. Dan.
How you doing? I blame Carlisle. He didn't bring in McConnell and Obi Toppin, who scored 20 points in 20 minutes. But on display here, folks, for the Knicks is the power of friendship. It's just unbelievable. I'm so happy for these three guys. I'm glad that we're actually experiencing it as New York fans. I love it. Let's go Knicks, fellas.
You know, Dan, you brought up a great point, and I didn't like Carlisle's excuse. I don't know if you heard of this excuse, Peter. McConnell played great, and he didn't bring him in toward the end of the game because that's not what we do. That's not what we did all year. Really? So you don't do it now? In what's close to a must win,
I don't,
organization's never won a series where you lost the first two games.
I always hate that. That's not what we do. Well, you make great coaches make adjustments. Things change.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves. But you guys know that's one of my pet peeves with Tibbs too.
Yeah, he does things because he's always done it that way.
That's it.
But he does change things up. I don't think he's playing Hart, 48 minutes every game during the season.
No, maybe 40. But you're right. You're right. But I hate lack of flexibility from coaches. You gotta put in the guy who's hot. You gotta put in the guy who can give you a chance. It's
Anthony,
the playoffs.
Do we have our guest? We don't. Interesting.
What happened?
Let's keep rolling. Let's go to Matt in Long Island City. Matty.
Hey, I just had a question for Don. I know it's a great time for New York sports with the two MSG teams in the playoffs, but I was just wondering, strictly from a Rangers fan perspective, do you think it's a good or a bad thing that the Knicks are making a run at the same time? Is it a good thing in the sense that they like feed off each other? Like, what's one good, everyone's excited about both? Or do you feel like the Knicks are kind of covering up the Rangers a bit just because basketball is obviously the more popular sport, and the Knicks are the more universally beloved team?
I think they feed off of each other. You see Hartenstein walking into the building with a Zibanejad jersey. I think the Rangers are maybe picking up even more fans because maybe a non-hockey fan is getting caught up in euphoria and starting to pay attention to the Rangers. The only people that might think it's a negative is somebody that loves hockey and hates basketball and just feels like, I don't like the fact that the team I don't like is starting to take over my vibe. But how do you not get caught up in this? I think the Rangers benefit from it, Michael. I do.
Well, I don't think they benefit in terms of the amount of minutes talked about them.
Well, but let's
I know what Matt is saying, because if the Knicks weren't in it right now, it would be all on the Rangers, but the Knicks are taking some of the shine away from the Rangers.
Yeah, but let me tell you something, guys, and this is coming from a hockey guy, and I've lived it, and I know it, and it bothers me, but if the Knicks were out, then instead of talking Knicks today, we're probably talking about the Yankees beating the Astros. There's always going to be another story, because hockey's the fourth sport. Now, if the Rangers make it to the Stanley Cup Final and the Knicks are out, we're going to spend a lot of time on the Rangers because they're on the verge of winning a championship. But this is the second round. The Rangers have been in the second round before. And today, with the Rangers having not played last night and it only being game three, we'd be talking about the Rangers. We'd probably be talking about the Yankees beating the Astros and the Mets Braves, and probably talking about the other NBA games that are going on. But the fact that we're talking Knicks sometimes drags the Rangers into the conversation, whether it's an analogy or just what's going on at the Garden. Like, we had Mike Lupik on yesterday. You got to talk about both teams because he's a New York columnist, is covering both. I think there's more of a chance that the Knicks being in it gets more people involved with the Rangers than not, because there would always be another story. As much as I love it, in a second round, Mike, we've been doing this for 20 years together. With Rangers in the second round against Carolina, are we ever going to do a full Rangers show?
No, but we would devote more time, I think.
Maybe more time, but we're still devoting some time to the Rangers here.
Yeah.
But again, if there's no Knicks, we're probably doing a lot more Yankees, right?
Probably. I would say the Rangers are affected by the Knicks being in it, and the Yankees and the Mets are affected by the Knicks and the Rangers being in it. So it's kind of a trickle-down effect. Let's go to Frank in Manorville. Frank.
Frank.
Hi, guys. I've been watching the show since I retired.
Oh,
you guys are the best.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. What I've got is a list of people I've met, quasi in the wild, some in the wild, that I think it's hard to beat.
Okay.
I'll start off with Mitch Kupchak. Played basketball against him when I was much younger. Russell Crowe.
Well, let me just say this about Kupchak. I want to analyze each one by one, Frank. Kupchak's not quite. Where did you play basketball against him in the wild?
It was out in a park.
Okay,
out,
well, you know
Smithtown.
What?
It wasn't.
Then I'll count that as in the wild. All right, continue.
All right, okay. What's next?
Russell Crowe and Mariano Rivera.
Where was that?
At the New York Auto Show.
Okay.
Okay, not bad.
All right. Michelle and Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm. He paused for that one. He set it up. All right, where was that?
Where was that?
At a Christmas party. At the White House.
Where are you rolling in?
What Christmas parties are you rolling in?
I know. I said quasi-wild.
That's not in the wild. You went to his house. Yeah, you went to their house.
In the wild.
But it was still a hell of a moment, let me tell you.
Wait, you went to the White House, Frank?
Yeah, the Christmas party.
Well, that's not in. I'm sorry. They're right. That's not in the wild.
It's not in the wild.
It's a great
story.
It's a great story.
I want to know what you did for a living. What did you retire from?
I was a court officer, but my son worked at the White House for a while.
God, okay. And got you invited. This was what, the Christmas party?
Yes.
Got it. Very cool.
We got invited. Okay, I'm still going.
All right.
You Jackman.
Oh, okay. What was this?
On Broadway.
That was harvesting garlic at a farm out in East Hampton.
All right. You know what? That's pretty in the wild.
That makes up
That was pretty wild.
Well, Frank,
and
you know
my
what?
Last and most favorite one.
Oh.
Meredith Marakovich.
Wow.
What?
Where
in the wild?
Where?
It wasn't very wild. I was in Tampa Bay at a game there.
No, not in the
she
wild.
Was just walking around in the stands, and I happened to see her. Yeah.
Frank, that
and
is
she
not
talked
in
to me.
Wild.
She was so nice. I know it wasn't in the wild, but it was a great experience.
No, well,
what
awesome.
Was better, Frank, meeting Meredith or Barack and Michelle?
Come on. The president takes care of everybody.
All right.
That's it was incredible.
I'll tell Meredith.
A real quick Yankee question.
Okay.
Okay.
Gleyber Torres is looking lost out there.
Yep.
If and when LeMahieu finally comes back, is
he
it
might
time
lose
to sit
some
him
time.
Down?
He might lose. They might sit him down.
I
because
think they
Cabrera
should.
Continues to play well. Birdie is a good player. I don't think they pull the plug completely, but he might sit down some. I got to tell you something, Peter. I got to give you props. I got to give you love.
Okay.
You're in the wild segment is taking fire.
Yeah, it's really
taking
good.
On. It's fire right now.
Yeah,
taking
I don't know.
A life of its own.
It keeps happening every day. I wonder what should we be. Should we
monetizing
be
it
or framing it into a day? You know, in the wild Wednesday. I don't know. You don't want to do, would you? Should it be in the wild Wednesday?
I think I speak for Michael. Where we really weren't sure about you until this. Now we think. Now we could say, you know,
someone
what? It was worth it.
Call Tim McCarthy.
Yeah.
No, but in the wild is fun. That guy. I mean, his weren't in the wild, but they were pretty good. Of course, Michael wasn't. Michael wasn't here for our craziest day of in the wild. Michael had left when Danny called.
Danny had something in the wild?
Yeah, we got to tell you off the air.
Well, it happened on the air, Don.
Yeah, but I don't know if we have the time now to dive that deep. And it also didn't
just
reflect
give me the
well
person.
On people.
Give me the person.
Michael Jackson.
Danny met Michael Jackson.
Danny says he not only met Michael Jackson, saw him in a car, and when he went up to the car, he, as I believe the quote was, had a child on his lap, and he threw the child off of his lap when Danny... When Danny approached the car.
What, was Danny in police uniform?
Yes. It was quite a story, Michael.
Michael Jackson doesn't seem very physical. Like, he threw the child?
That's where the story... And it was quite a story, Michael. Quite a story.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, I'm sorry I missed that. I really...
Really was wild in the wild.
Let's go to Wade in Rochester. Wade.
Hi, Michael. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Welcome aboard.
I've coached football for 38 years in Rochester area. I'm listening to your talk on playing time, and I'm going to quote the great Pat Summitt.
Mm-hmm.
He who listens to the fans soon becomes one. And I can tell you this, there's nobody in New York that knows the Knicks better than Tom Thibodeau and his medical staff. And in the games today, with all the timeouts, the stops for foul shooting, the stops for replays, etc., the players get tons of rest time that we don't realize as the average fan. And I would agree with you.
I would agree with you, Wade, but Don made this point earlier, and I think it's important to amplify this. I agree that timeouts, that is a rest period for the players, and halftime and all of that. But nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is considering, well, you know what? We don't have to play Kawhi. We could play Kawhi Leonard today because we have 8 timeouts that he's going to sit down. No. That's not the way everybody thinks. It's just not the way everybody thinks. Thibodeau is an outlier, and I think it's a good outlier. He's an outlier. That's all there is to it.
Now, if they get that next player... And he's doing this, then I do think he's putting them at a disadvantage. But the way this team is currently constructed, I think this is just the way to go for now.
I do want to remind everybody, and a caller brought it up previously. If Julius Randle was healthy, the plan was to play Josh Hart 20 to 25 minutes a game. So, as that caller said, they're playing their depth. Josh Hart is depth. They're playing their depth. I mean, there was no guarantee that DiVincenzo was going to start. At the beginning of season, that wasn't the case. They're playing their depth. And they had depth that's gone. Bogdanovich is depth. He's hurt. Burks is depth. He can't play. Mitchell Robinson would mean Hartenstein was depth. It's not like this team was built poorly. This team was built in a certain way, and injuries have taken them down. And they're not fatigue injuries. The only one that I would say that you could put under the fatigue injury would be maybe OG. And that's a crapshoot. I've seen people pull hamstrings the first day of spring training. Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave. Well, you know what, Dave? You're out. Let's go to Steve,
Dave,
in Pearl River. Steve.
Hey, guys. You know, the thing that is so striking, and it's magnified now. I call it the Villanova Trinity at this point. All right? And last night it was really on this. There was an inbounds play. Indiana was doing a full court. And Hart was inbounding the ball. And Brunson was not available. He wanted the ball. And it looked like he was throwing the ball away. But no, he was throwing the ball to DiVincenzo. It was like he knew where he was going to be. I mean, it's just these occurrences between the three of them, they're going on all the time. That's number one. And number two, there was a really nice article in The Athletic, Don, about Lafreniere. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I want to check it out.
Very nice. It was in the Times. It's in the print edition. Very nice article about Lafreniere, about how he's an old 22 and how, you know, it took a while, but it looks like he's here, you know?
I think Laviolette's got the best out of him, and I think he could turn out to be maybe not the first overall pick type of star you thought, but Michael, he's about ready to pop. Lafreniere is going to be good.
Michael, can I throw, since I came out Mr. Positive and hating on your negative angle, can I say one negative thing from yesterday?
Sure.
That stood out to me?
Sure.
Under a minute.
By yes.
Oh, by yes. Under a minute left. Under a minute left, Knicks get a fresh 24, and DiVincenzo rushes the three-pointer with 23 seconds on the shot clock.
Wasn't great.
It lucked out. They lucked out, and the ball came back to him, but that was a terrible shot.
Well, I'm surprised. You know, it doesn't surprise me because you're a hater. You tried to paint me as one, but you are a hater.
No, I just noticed that was a bad decision. They were very fortunate that the ball bounced the way it did. They got it back. You can't. It kind of would have been an unforgivable decision should the ball go back and they get points the other way.
Right.
That could have. I think they could have taken the clock from something like 49 seconds to 26 seconds. And
it's really hard to pick on him, though, because he had an unbelievable game.
He was fantastic.
If he's hitting his threes, they're unbeatable.
Unbeatable.
When we come back, more phone calls, more on the Rangers and the Canes Game 3, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, you could hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. So stick around.
BetMGM, fans, go yard with the King of Sportsbooks. All season long, they're offering top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to place same-game parlays, special boosts, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Whether you want to combine multiple bets for a chance at a bigger payout or place a live bet on the game as it unfolds, BetMGM has all of the home run betting options you could need. Download the BetMGM app, head to the ballpark, and get your piece of the MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Subject to eligibility requirements, rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the K Show on 98.7 ESPN. You may notice no yes. You may notice no Michael K. No Michael K. Yankee action now. But guess what? All due respect to the Yankees, Michael, and I mean all due respect, but if it's all right with you, can we spend the next 2 hours talking some Knicks and Rangers?
Do it.
What else will we do? We've been handed a gift by the Lord above. The sweet Lord of sports has said, here you go, New York. MSG is going to be a party well into the spring. And darn it, I'm not going
to
celebrate.
And to get back to what the caller said before, I do think these teams are attached at the hip. Now, a diehard NBA guy that doesn't like the NHL and vice versa may disagree, but for the city, they're attached at the hip. So follow me. We're talking Knicks, but if a Ranger fan wants to call in the midst of us talking Knicks, it's kind of natural for them to join in. If the Rangers are the only team in the playoffs in the second round, Peter, and we're talking Yankees, it won't feel as natural to take that Ranger call in the middle of a baseball conversation, or if the NFL schedule came out, or all the things that like normally would be happening if you didn't have these two teams attached at the hip. So as much as there are probably Ranger fans who, oh, I hate the Knicks, I hate basketball, I think it actually opens the door for more Ranger talk.
And by the way, don't be that guy. Anyone right now who's in on either team, they're playing on alternating days. That's the beauty. So tonight, when you have your off Knicks night, you get to watch the Rangers, Don. You see how beautiful that is?
Yeah, but there's always people that are...
I don't accept it. I want everyone to come together.
I think you accept that it exists. You don't agree with it.
That's right.
But you have to accept that it's there.
Well, it is a thing. That is
there are people that hate strongly.
There's nothing but phone calls right now.
Nothing but...
Let's go to John, who wants to talk about a big stat that Don just mentioned. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm a huge fan, huge Knicks fan, lifelong Yankees fan. I'm even watching the Rangers playoffs. Hockey's fun in the playoffs. And, listen, you made a point on Monday, and you've even changed the way I watch the Knicks. Don, you said that DiVincenzo, anytime he scores 3 3-pointers or more, the Knicks have never lost a game. So now I sit there counting his 3-pointers with my girl watching the game. And as soon as he scores his third one, like, I can breathe. I'm like, all right, we got this. And it's true. They don't lose anytime he scores 3 or more.
And when he's hot, and the other night he wasn't hot early, but then got hot in the second half, it just adds.
Right.
Because let's face it, John, the thing that this team is missing is secondary scoring. It's about Brunson getting fired up, getting those threes and getting 40 points right, or 35 points. But when DiVincenzo is launching from three and hitting, now they've got to respect that. They've got to defend that. It just opens a lot of other things up.
Right. Right, and it gives Brunson a little break,
Just from being the man, he is.
And it's by the way, we said this, though. Really, if they get a big night out of Hart or DiVincenzo, they're in good shape. If they get nights from both of them, forget it. And then, of course, if OG Anunoby gives you what he gave you yesterday, which was his best offensive night as a Knick, just a fantastic first quarter.
Right, but you will miss his defense, though, Peter.
Oh, absolutely. He brings a lot to the table. Remember, in addition to even the defense and the offense of Anunoby, there's also just the intangible of Anunoby, that they're just a different team when he plays.
He's got a ring, right? So that helps.
There's just something about that guy that when he's on this team, when he's available, they're different. What's the stat now? Do you guys remember the record at this point?
What can it be? Wasn't it 15-1 before he got hurt?
Yeah,
right?
No. And then at the end of the year, I think it was like 24-3.
Yeah. They've only lost twice in the postseason.
I have not yet looked at this stat yet. I'm pulling it up right now from yesterday. Let's see. Anunoby's plus minus yesterday is only 10 because, of course, a lot of his run was when Brunson was out. So he was trying to sort of not only he was trying to prevent the Knicks from taking on water, basically, when Brunson left the game. Of course, Brunson, you know, Don, just your standard issue, plus 26 yesterday.
I saw that. It's incredible.
He's insane. Let's go to Fran in Massapequa. Hey, Fran.
Hey, Fran.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
How you doing?
Big Islander fan, so I figured out a way to watch the Rangers. You bet on them. And I've been so happy in the playoffs as a betting fan. And they're a good bet, man. They are a good bet. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they are. But anyway, the Knicks, man. I mean, this is just unbelievable. I'm so happy. I was calling because I heard Michael saying, you know, and even you, Don, about that. Listen, I understand. When you play guys too much, they get burned out and all of that. But these guys are in their 20s, some of them. And you know what I mean? I don't know. I know when I played, and I played competitive sports, not on any level like these guys, of course. But I wanted to be out there every single minute, and I wouldn't come out. And I was good enough where I could do that when I played hockey or football or baseball. And that's just it's a desire. So a little bit of that, a little bit. We know the coach. You know what you're getting with this guy. But just to watch this team is just it's really fun. Another thing, I called up and what I said, sometimes I guess I say things wrong by the way I bring it out.
No,
I had mentioned I had mentioned experience. And I didn't say that they, you know, if they lose the first round, it's great experience. I didn't mean it like that. What I meant is every minute they're getting now, think of this. You know, next year they're going to have Randle back. Now, whoever thinks he's no good is a moron. That's 20 to 25 a game and 10 rebounds. Now, does he do his stupid stuff once in a while? That's okay. This is just a wonderful thing because it's bringing out these guys and you're seeing what they're worth, what they can do in big spots. Yeah. This is going to be a tough team to handle down the road, you know, this year and next year and years to come if they make the right trade. And they just imagine adding another guy, a scorer, so Brunson can go, hey, here you go, bang, he hits. And then Randle, too, and then the bench. I'm loving it. Have a wonderful day.
You got to love it.
You too, buddy.
And thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
And Michael said it, that if you looked at the next 3 years, say, this will be the worst Knick team of the next three, meaning they're just going to keep getting better and better. So you got to love it. And I think there has to be a certain amount of respect for what they're doing. It's not a fluke. You know, I'm not even going to get into, you know, with Shaq and, you know, Barkley last night, they're overrated, blah, blah, blah. I think that's just become the shtick really in both leagues, Peter, in these pregame and postgame shows. Let's poke the bear. Let's just try to get some hits. Let's try to stir it up. Because really, at the end of the day, how much do you really need a pre- and postgame show as far as information? We have eyes. We can see it. So it's all just trying to stir it up. I wouldn't take it personally, but I can understand Knick fans getting irritated.
Yeah,
but this team's won 6 playoff games, consecutive series in which they've been up 2-0, and yet they still feel like they got to prove themselves to everybody outside of the tri-state area. It does get a little irritating.
Totally. Yesterday, I found yesterday's to be like a little irritating, given how great, like how heroic the sort of
win was. But it's got to be performative,
right? It's completely performative. I mean, if you guys actually, like, don't get me wrong, I posted on Twitter and I fed into it also. But guys, there's a reason Inside the NBA is the greatest show on sports
TV. And they know
what
they're doing.
That's what I'm saying.
You're probably looking at a Western Conference final of OKC Minneapolis. And then you hope you get New York, Boston in the East. So you start irritating Knicks fans, and they start watching, they start interacting. It just stirs it up. That's what they're looking to do. Same thing on the NHL side. What did Bissonnette do on TNT? Going after the Maple Leafs. He calls the Rangers fugazi. You can see what they're doing. It's right out of a script. You're getting played, man. Now, yeah. I think they do phenomenal job. Don't get me wrong. I just think that the old school way of doing pre- and post-game shows are over. It's all about stirring the pot. Now, these guys know what they're doing. They can analyze it, and they're fun, and they're outstanding at what they do. I'm not saying that. But when you start poking the bear the way they do, that's performative because it's getting the results they're looking for. They're trying to stir up the biggest fan base in the country.
Exactly. And this is the fan base. Yeah. And by the way, a very sensitive fan base who loves this team and with good reason. So I understand it completely. Let's go to Mac in Randolph. Hey, Mac.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. The last couple of days, you were talking about Jamal Murray and Embiid with should they get suspended. And a lot of callers have been talking about Draymond Green's suspension in 2016. But I feel like a lot of people forgot his was different because he got suspended because he got the fourth flagrant foul point of those playoffs. So
you know what?
Once he
that's,
got the flagrant
that's a good
foul,
point.
It's an automatic suspension.
So you wonder if that was would he have gotten suspended if not for the accumulation of the technicals?
Right. Wow. Now they did change the technical to a flagrant after the game, so you can debate whether that was on purpose. Mm. But like if Embiid had already had this many flagrants, he probably would have been suspended in the same situation. So it's just an interesting kind of.
So what you're saying, Mac, is their track record is still very pristine. They protect the superstars.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you.
Thanks for the call, Mac. It's a
that was
that's
good.
That's a very good point that we were not thinking about. Let's go to Mike in Jersey. Hey, Mike. Oh, Mike. What's going on?
Peter and Don, how are you guys?
How you doing?
Good. Hey, I want to talk about Thibodeau. I hate the whole narrative that he plays his guys too much because you know what? You see it around the league too. That Dallas OKC game, game one, OKC was up 25 with 3 minutes left in the game. Like, it just frustrates me because, again, Josh Hart said it, literally said it after the game yesterday. He doesn't want to come out. Tibbs asked him, do you want to blow? And he says, no, I want to play because that's what they want. Josh Hart loves playing. Early in the season when he was coming off the bench, I remember Josh Hart, he was actually annoyed at how little he was playing.
Oh, yeah.
He loved doing it. And that's, guys, this is a team that, like, I love this team. And I know you guys talked about Charles Barkley just now. I'm sorry. I know they're throwing the pod. That really annoyed me because, like Charles said, New Yorkers don't deserve this. Who are you to say we don't deserve this? We've been in purgatory for 20 years. Of course we deserve this. This is an amazing time as a Knicks fan. What are you talking about?
It just remember this. There's two things that you need to remember that's going to make you feel better because I can sense the agita. Two things. Number one, it's performative, so don't take it personally. But more importantly, wouldn't you rather that than them coming on and guaranteeing the Knicks are going to win? Or I love this Knicks team, Peter. This Knicks team, they're going to go all the way. You'd be like, you know what? I'd rather you just disrespect them. Use it as fuel.
Yeah.
The phrase that I said when I did the Don show, I guess last week, mm-hmm. or whenever it was, I said, this team is not getting any respect. They've got to go out there and take it. And that's the mentality they have. So look at the disrespect as fuel. This is not a team that's going to read its press clippings. You know why? Because there's around the nation, there's no press clippings. They're going to use this as fuel. Disrespect them. Don't believe in them. And that'll just make them go out
you know
there and party, fight even harder.
I really feel like the biggest disrespect, though, just is really just coming from the loudest voices. It's really just inside the NBA. I mean, let's not.
No, but the ESPN thing where Brunson is 15th in the
but first, that like, was a stupid
but
stat.
No, but
that
but again, it just it, but it adds to it. It's just like anybody that will come out and tell you that what you see isn't real. I think any logical Knicks fan would say they're not the favorites to win the championship. I can handle that,
of course.
But overrated?
No, what happens is people get mad because they're, if anything, overhyped, meaning like they just garner a ton of attention because they're the Knicks.
Well, but you know, maybe they're overhyped, Peter, because they're not load management. They don't have, you know, conceited stars who think they can do whatever they want and get away with it. They have players that actually talk to the media after games, that they you can root for them, that don't have, you know, that don't act like they're above it all.
I know. Even their star who's not currently playing was like the definition of the lunch pail NBA star.
Right, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, Julius Randle, don't forget. Julius Randle deserves credit, by the way, guys, for setting the tone and personality of this team before Jalen Brunson was ever a Knick. This has been the temperament of this team, how hard-nosed they play, the minutes they play, Don. Remember, Julius Randle started as a Knick and was playing 75 games a year, 80 games a year. It kind of starts with Julius Randle, and I feel terrible that he doesn't get to be a part of this at all. But that is the personality of this team. A lot of it is mirroring Julius Randle.
Yeah.
And the other guys happen to be perfect. This Villanova bunch happens to be perfect, and also, of course, mirrors Tibbs' personality as well. Guys, let me give you a little message brought to you by my friends over at BetterHelp. All right. Therapy has been incredibly useful in my life, especially when dealing with stressors, whether personal, professional, romantic, whatever it may be. We all have stress. We all have things we need to get off our chest. And for me, therapy has been incredibly beneficial. Maybe you've also been thinking about trying therapy. And if you have been, how about considering BetterHelp? It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. It's suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. All right, so you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Go visit betterhelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Who is this again? I hear it every day.
It's Bruno Mars.
Oh, that's why it bothers me.
Well, you're anti-Bruno?
I only like the one song. You know the one. Uptown
Funk. Uptown Funk? It's my friend. That's actually my friend Mark Ronson.
And
featuring Bruno Mars.
And it is, without question,
yeah,
number one with a bullet, the most interesting thing about you to my wife. When she found that out, you should see, like, color her impressed.
Mark Ronson
loves him. And the fact that you are friends with him, that put you up there.
That is such a bizarre...
Isn't it?
Well, not that Mark's not a big deal. But he was on Celebrity Row yesterday. Not that Mark's not a big deal. He's definitively a big deal. But for Nancy to care, I'm trying to think there's nobody else, though, I guess, I guess in some ways it makes sense because he has a big, huge pop song that she knows.
And it played incessantly like the first few months of the pandemic because we had the video and the kids loved it. But I misunderstood you, and I told Nancy that he just happened to live in your building. I thought the story. I had
it backwards.
And she's like, what? I was like, yeah, they live in the same building. Really? Then I said, listen, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. And she's like, oh, yeah, you confused it with somebody else. And I'm like, no, they're friends. Again, like chin bounced off the linoleum.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah, but it's true. I'm
trying to think of who else I could know that would impress.
I don't think there is. Nancy. I say I know a lot of the people you know.
Yeah.
Or that I know that you know them, I should say. No, that's it, man.
Was she more impressed by Mark Ronson than us knowing Billy Crystal?
She didn't care about you knowing Billy Crystal.
Was she excited for you?
She was very excited when I was at the table and texting with Billy Crystal, which usually irritates her when we're in the middle of dinner and I'm texting. But
when you said it's Billy Crystal,
she's like, well, what did he text? Text him back.
Now, obviously, if this had been any, if you had said I'm texting with Bobby Bonds, I mean, what would that have done?
Nothing.
Really? What if you'd said, Willie Mays sent you a text?
Well, no, it would be at that level. Or Dave Righetti, forget about it.
Well, then she has to be
Buster
alone.
Posey. But Billy Buster Crystal. But that's because that's on the Giants. But we're talking about a person of interest, like a standalone. Not because of any other reason, but because it's Billy Crystal. Billy was texting me during a draft. I was shocked.
During the NFL draft?
Yeah.
What was he so dialed
just,
in on?
Just what he thought of the picks and everything.
Hey, Anthony, tell me if I'm right. It just went off the screen. Since McAfee has abandoned the tank top, now that he went back to the tank top, it looks crazy again.
It does look cool. But it is
it's
off, warmer.
I'm used to it now. He stopped with the tank tops. And then today, I guess it was a hot day in Indy. He went back to the tank top. It felt like he was half nude.
But it is interesting. Whenever something happens with the Jets, I get a text from Q-Tip. Whenever something happens with the Giants, I get a text from Billy Crystal.
Look at you.
Q-Tip's in the Hall of Fame, or soon to be in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Shot at an invite for you?
I've told him that I want to go.
Who's inducting them?
I also told him I was willing to do that.
Well, I'm sure you are, but
you asked that, who it should be. It's very hard to say who will induct A Tribe Called Quest. There's so many good people potentially to do it. So many. So I'm not sure where they'll go. Now, I don't know. Does he have to get me invited to the Hall? I mean, maybe...
You could go, but I'm sure
I want to go and sit at a table. I want to sit at a table somewhere.
Are you close enough? Like, you invited him to your wedding. He just couldn't go.
Correct.
Right? So this is wedding adjacent, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a chance everyone in his life is going to say they want to be there. I don't know. You know what I mean?
But you're Peter Rosenberg.
I'm just a regular person who also loves the group, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try a few different angles.
But you compared him to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
At the point of offending
Kanye West.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's the equivalent of going to war for somebody.
Well, no, but think about the part you left out there. That's actually a more compelling piece. That happened when I was speaking at Fife's Memorial at the Apollo. So the fact that I spoke at Fife's Memorial would say, then you should be on the invite list for the Hall of Fame.
At least. And at least on a long list of people that could induct.
Oh, yeah.
The short list. No. Like, if they were to just, let's just throw a bunch of names out.
If they said, hey, we don't have any of the good people available, who could do a good job? We just want, don't worry about if anyone cares about who they are. We just want a good job. I could do it. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the phones. They are jammed as per usual. Surprised we haven't heard from Q-Tip about the Knicks, by the way. I did text him and say, can you imagine how much Fife would have loved this team? Because, man, Fife loved a scrappy Knick. And this team is such a scrappy team. All right, you know what? The phone lines are completely jammed. We'll take the break here, and at the top of the hour, we'll do nothing but Knicks calls. We'll get to some Rangers as well. And we'll, of course, talk to Frank Isola in a few moments as well after 5 o'clock. It is the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN. Oh, you know what, guys? Let me talk to you guys for a moment, shall I? I think I shall. Let's talk Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Did you hear about the 30 for 30 sale? Come get some. You can get up to 30% off MSRP during the next 30 days on brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee 4XEs and Gladiators. All up to 30% off MSRP. Go visit Michelle Scalise during their Memorial Day sales event and come get some.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.